an informational item, an update on the status implementing of the North Coast Dairy Program General Waste Discharge Requirements Order Number R1-2012-002, and Conditional Waiver Order Number R1-2012-003.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Sherry Blatt, the Water Resource Control Engineer for the Regional Water Board staff. This is item four, the update on status of implementing the North Coast Dairy Program. So just the outline, first is a dairy program overview. We'll talk a tiny bit about enrollment and reporting submittals. We'll spend most of our time on water quality monitoring by county. We have some results from the last 3 years of water quality monitoring. Then we just have one brief talk about enforcement actions, program of water quality summary, and next steps such as inspections, ongoing surface water sampling, ongoing groundwater also, potential fees for the waiver, which you'll hear about today, I'm sure, from public comment, and expiration of the waiver, and the NPDES permit. It's a five-year permit. It's going to expire in January 2017. All existing Caldarians are currently enrolled, 123 under the conditional waiver, 3 under general waste discharge requirements because they are higher risk to water quality. We have no permits in the general NPDES permit right now, but we like to keep that in place, and I use that as a threat during inspections. Okay, if I could point. Thanks. So just going over the waiver column first. In 2012, the water quality plan had to be submitted for each waiver. This is to show that they do meet the requirements. It's a certification that they have to sign. Then all the dairies under the waiver have to hand in the annual report by November 30th. This is every year. They've handed in two so far, 2013 and 2014. And there's no annual fee so far for the waiver. Under general waste discharge requirements column, in 2013, they had to have a waste management plan for the milk production area, including the manure ponds. That's to be kept on the dairy, and I can look at that during inspections. Also, a nutrient management plan. Every GWDR dairy has to have one of those. This is for the application of manure to fields plan, and that's to be kept on the dairy. I also look at that during inspections. And report is also due every November 30th, so they've handed those in every year since 2012. And they do have a fee by herd size annual. It's about $1,000 a year for 300 cows. It's about $1,600 a year for 600 cows. Here's what they submit, the water quality, an annual report. It certifies the dairy complies with the permit and is ready for the winter. That's why we have it November 30th. It consists of a 7-page annual report form, and attached to that form is water quality sample results for surface water and groundwater. Most of the dairies are in a surface water group. The group goes out and takes the surface water samples, and we pay a fee to the group every year. Also attached to the annual report form is best management photos. This shows that the dairy is ready for winter rains. It usually consists of pictures of an empty manure pond, so that shows they have the capacity for the winter. It may also include some photos of gutters, concrete, roofs, things that are best management practices. So first we'll start with Del Mar County in the far north corner of our region. There are 8 dairies. They're all enrolled under the waiver. We performed 10 staff inspections to date. The group sampling is done with the Natural Resource Conservation Service staff and some of the dairy members themselves. They take surface water sampling of 3 1-inch storms per winter. Under the drought, I think there was 1 year where they didn't have 3 storms that were 1-inch. There's 11 stream stations upstream and downstream of the dairies, mainly tributaries to the Smith River. One station is on the Smith River and one station is on Jordan Creek that drains to Lake Earl. Groundwater sampling, they have 8 dairy groundwater stations, one in each at the dairies, and they are 100% completed because the group has done all the sampling, fall-spring sampling for nitrate and fecal coliform. We have tables on all of these. and those are 100% complete. So the first pie chart that we put all the information into an Excel spreadsheet and made a pie chart for this, we got a total of 44 samples to design this pie chart. All of the samples were less than 1 milligram per liter, reported as total ammonia. Since Tuesday, we got another 33 samples in for the 2015 sampling because they just finished sampling in the Smith River in March, and they also fit into this 100% less than 1 milligram per liter total ammonia. Next is electric conductivity. 86% of the samples were less than 300 microsiemens per centimeter. Electric conductivity, again, 44 samples for 8 days. And 5 and 9% were between 3 and 2400 microsiemens per centimeter. All in the yellow and red zone were tidal influenced areas. Next is the groundwater. This is the group sampling, one at each day. Just 10% were below 1. I have an asterisk there. HEM 1992 is considered anthropogenic sources. Less than 1 is good. Above that is influenced by anthropogenic sources. So we had 87% between 1 and 10. And then in the groundwater above the maximum contaminant level, there was one or two samples that were between 10 and 15 milligrams per liter. And the last slide is fecal coliform. Just 6% were influenced by some coliform that was getting into the well. And we had two samples that were above the detection limit, most probable number per 100 milliliters. There was one was 11 and one was 1600. I spoke to the NRCS office about this sample that was 1600. She said it was because a well was not sealed. So we have three photos of the Del Mar best management practices. This dairy is on concrete. The cows are on concrete. The area is roofed. This all drains down the center. There's also a manure pile on the left. I was going to point, sorry. Thanks. And this all drains to the manure pond on concrete. This is pretty efficient. When you don't have this, there's concern that this could be leaching to streams or groundwater. If it doesn't drain to the manure pond or if it's not on concrete, it could drain to the groundwater. I want you to notice in some of the photos, you'll see people. Some of these people are representatives of the dairy. Some of them are from agencies. It's interesting to have these people on the dairy. These are people who have requested to come along, and the dairy operator has granted permission for these people to come. Some of the agencies explain projects that are being funded on the dairy, and others are there for support in case the dairy has some projects that they do want to do. They can ask all the agency people about how they would fund something, and the agencies can respond to how soon they could get different projects funded. Okay, so this is a different dairy in Del Mar County. The cows are on concrete in a roofed area. This is flush to a concrete curb, and this is gravity flows to a concrete pit. Again, people from the agencies helping out. And this is the last picture from Del Mar County. This dairy is in the 100-year floodplain of the Smith River, so they got special funding from the NRS for this 1 million-gallon concrete tank that is floodproof and earthquake-proof. This is above the flood level of the Smith River, even though the Smith River has a berm. And one concern that we have on all dairies is if these sealed silage bags were to burst and these nutrients were to go into the soil, so this has to be checked constantly. Sometimes these are on concrete. You'll see another picture in Humboldt County where silage bags are kept on concrete. So the future of Del Mar County monitoring is that the dairy group surface sampling will continue. The groundwater sampling is complete for the five-year waiver, and the regional board has some staff sampling that they want to do in the Smith River groundwater in the summer of 2015. This is an ongoing study that they started in 2013 regarding the lily bulbs. Next is Siskiyou County. We just have three dairies, but they're unique, so we have slides special to them. They're all under the waiver. They're all staff inspected. fully. There's surface water sampling of 3 1-inch storms. They only have about 19 inches of rain a year, half of that in the form of snow, so they don't usually have 1-inch storms. One day was able to take upstream and downstream samples. We have tables for that. And there's individual groundwater well sampling, about 60% complete. So the first is for ammonia. This is the one day. It took 6 samples. He had 2 storms, I believe. 83% was less than 1, and 17% of his samples were between 1 and 2.9. Next was that same dairy took samples for electric conductivity. He had about the same results. Just 17% of the samples were between 300 and 600 microsiemens per centimeter electric conductivity. Nitrate, we have 10 samples from the 3 days. 29% were below background. That's the anthropogenic line between green and yellow again. 50% were above background, and 21% of the samples in just 3 days was above the maximum contaminant level. This is one of the highest in our region, at 45 milligrams per liter. I called this dairy on the telephone and talked to the operator, and he said that since he took these samples, he has a new well that's been funded by the NRCS, Natural Resource Conservation Service, in Waimika. He has also contracted with Conestoga River. He has a consultant that's working on his nutrient management plan, and at the same time, another dairy, the second dairy in Siskiyou County, is under contract with Conestoga River to have a nutrient management plan done. Those are important because it lists all the water quality projects that are recommended, and then they can be funded. So that's super important. The third dairy in Siskiyou County does already have a nutrient management plan and has a consultant that's been taking those surface water samples. No fecal coliform were found in any of the samples, the 10 that were taken in Siskiyou. We have a picture from each of the 3 dairies in Siskiyou County. Manure from the barn is flushed via concrete channel to this lagoon. Nutrients from this lagoon are then distributed onto the fields. The lagoon is burned to exclude stormwater runoff. The dairy has a tailwater pond beyond, below this lagoon, but water rarely makes it to the tailwater pond because of the small amount of rainfall in this area. The tailwater pond is over a half mile through the fields from surface water streams. The dairy operator manages this pond level. A pump is available for emergencies to prevent any manure from flowing to the creek. This Siskiyou County dairy, This Siskiyou County dairy has concrete-lined lanes and concrete curbs that are scraped to the manure ponds. It was cold that morning. This is in November. The Siskiyou dairy corrals have a view of Mount Shasta. A note of best management practice is to scrape the manure-laden corrals prior to the rainy season, securing manure so that it doesn't flow to the streams or infiltrate to groundwater in the wintertime. So the future of Siskiyou monitoring is that individual surface water sampling will continue. We have 40% remaining of individual groundwater sampling, and there's concern about nitrates in the groundwater in this area. We'll talk about that at the end. Next is Humboldt County. We have 62 dairies, 60 under the waiver, 2 are under general waste discharge requirements due to concerns about the water quality there. 52 staff inspections have been performed. We have 10 left. We'll try to do in late May and sometime in June next month. We have group surf water sampling that's done through the Resource Conservation District in Humboldt, and some of the dairy operators are also involved. They have 32 tributary stream stations located upstream and downstream of these 62 dairies. 50% of the stations are sampled each storm, and they have individual groundwater sampling. 60% is complete. Here are the results. 4% were greater than 1, between 1 and 3, and 4% were between 3 and 6. There are about 3 dairies that are in this range that have consistent high ammonia, and this is a concern, these 3 dairies. We have a total of 86 samples, so we'll talk about that at the end. Next, electrical conductivity. Most of the electrical conductivity that you'll see in these slides is from tidal influence, and some of them is from other dissolved cells that are in the water. 33% in the yellow zone, 23% in the red for 86 samples for Humboldt. Here's the groundwater. These are individual samples that were taken by the dairy. 50% were below background, 44% were between 1 and 10 milligrams per liter nitrate, and 6% were between 10 and 17, just above the maximum contaminant level. 234 samples were taken in Humboldt. Fecal coliform, just 4% were above detection limit. Anything above the detection limit is a concern because bacteria is getting into the groundwater. The highest was 23 units for a total of 222 samples taken there. We have three photos of Humboldt County dairies. This is a nice dairy with a solid roof. Well, sometimes there's holes in the roof. This was a nice one. It had rain gutters that collect the system. This is a double. It must have a lot of rain in this area. It goes down to a pipe under the concrete, away from the manure pond into the creek. That keeps clean water separate so that they don't have to keep that capacity in the manure pond. These Jersey cows are on concrete. This is scraped to the manure pond right here on the dairy, so there's no room for it to get away. The manure pond is burned. You can see the sides. We like to see this trimmed better on the sides of the manure pond because then the dairy operator can better see cracks or holes in the manure pond where manure could get away. This is a nice, efficient dairy in the Ferndale Plain area. This cow barn is scraped straight into the manure pond, plenty of capacity in the manure pond, and this is in the springtime. And this area is trimmed when the soil is dry enough, the cows are allowed to go on the berm and chew down the grasses so that it's easier for the operator to see whether there's cracks or holes in the manure pond and it's leaking. This was a nice dairy. This is always a concern if you don't have this, because you can see any leakage. It's also a concern whether there's enough clay in the liner of the manure ponds to protect the groundwater. We like to see concrete in the calf area. Calves have high bacteria content, and this is the best management practice in Humboldt County. This is the silage bags on concrete. It goes to a 1,000-gallon tank. When it's full, it pumps to the manure pond. This is a pretty efficient way, and it keeps track. So the last slide about Humboldt County is that the dairy group surface water sampling will continue. Individual groundwater sampling, 40%, is remaining. And the Regional Water Board staff sampling is going to start next winter for bovine birds and humans. Bacteria in the water, our staff from our aquatics, adaptive management unit, that's Rebecca's new unit, has already chosen some sampling stations and is going to be sampling next winter if they get the funding, and they're at the last step in getting that funding to check for bovine bacteria in some of the areas of Humboldt County. And the last county group is Sonoma, Marin, Mendocino. We have two dairies in Mendocino County. We have five dairies in Marin County, and the rest are all in Sonoma County, a total of 52. 51 are under the waiver. One dairy is under the general waste discharge requirements for high risk to water quality. We've performed 53 staff inspections. We have one dairy left to see in that area. The group surface water sampling is headed up by the Farm Bureau. 18 tributary stream stations located upstream and downstream of the dairies. 100% of those stations are sampled each storm, and they do individual groundwater sampling each day. 40% of that is complete. So high ammonia in the samples, 3% has been found. The 78 samples have been collected. This is in the high zone, 3 to 6 milligrams per liter. I don't think it was ever 6. It was around 3, and there's a few stations where, Earl from the Farm Bureau, he goes to the dairy and talks to the dairy about best management practices to make sure that this is corrected right away. Lush of conductivity, some of this is tidal influenced, other of it may not be. 78 samples, and 40% is in the green zone between 0 and 300. 42% yellow, 300 to 600 microsiemens per centimeter, and 18% above that when the 600, the high level, the highest level on each of these slides is shown on there in red, 1460 microsiemens per centimeter. So here's the nitrate in groundwater. 53% was below anthropogenic sources in green. 36% was between 1 and 10 milligrams per liter, and 11% was above the maximum contaminant level. The highest level was 63 milligrams per liter for a total of 101 samples taken. This was individual groundwater monitoring by the dairies. There is a legacy high groundwater in West Petaluma area. A lot of the dairies have this problem. We'll talk last about what to do about these because they're all in the same boat. Fecal coliform, 13% of the samples had fecal coliform. This is bad, especially that total under the legend in red detected. The highest was 920 units. That's high. There's bacteria getting into the groundwater. It's probably from an unsealed well, and that needs to be taken care of. When we look at this type of thing, we'll also look at where the bacteria is coming from. It can be from septic. It can be from the neighbor. It may be from the dairy. It may not be. That it cannot even be from operator error in collecting the sample. And last, we have four photos from the area. This is the Mendocino County dairy. This is a pretty efficient dairy because the cows are kept off the screen on the left. This area is on the right. I'm sorry that. Manure scraped via the concrete into this concrete tank, and then it overflows into the manure pond here. The dairy operator manages the level. Here's a pump here. He can take liquids and solids out of the manure pond and distribute it onto the fields before it would ever overflow into creeks or lakes in the area. This is a Marin County dairy. It has rain gutter system that discharges clean water directly to the creek. That's shown on the next slide. Concrete areas are scraped to the manure pond, and this is hosed down. These are concrete lanes with concrete curbs. All the manure is kept separate from the creek, which is down here in the valley. Here's a thing that you may not know that I check on is the above ground tanks. A lot of them have fuel tanks, and we check for secondary containment or any leaks. We did have one dairy a few years ago that had a leak onto the ground, and it was fuel that was getting away from them. And since then, we put that in our inspection report, and they corrected the problem. And this is the last picture. This is a Sonoma County dairy. In the future, we'll talk more about riparian protection. There's cows here in the field that have access to this running water. This creek would benefit from shade from riparian vegetation and protection from the cows and manure input. So the future of Sonoma Marin Mendocino sampling is that the group surface water sampling will continue. Individual groundwater sampling, we still have 60% remaining. And there's future sampling in Sonoma County, especially in the Laguna, is ongoing. Just one slide on enforcement actions. We have 95% compliance with the dairy program. We have timely annual reports. We've had notices of violation, two in 2012 for failure to enroll, 11 in 2013 for late water quality plans or annual reports. We had seven notices of violation in 2014 for late annual reports, and we had two 2015 notices of violation for late annual reports. These have all been resolved. Last November, the board had an item, administrative civil liability complaint, two of them against one day for late reports, and those reports have been handed in February, and the fine of $37,125 was paid. In fact, that day handed in their 2014 annual report November 28th, 2 days early.
Yes.
So this is the summary, is that we'll we have dairy enrollment, education reporting. This is the water quality data. We have ongoing inspections and water quality concerns. Overall, the dairy program shows that water quality is in good shape, contamination problems are not widespread, and any water quality protection on dairies is improving with important projects. Water quality concerns are that we're investigating why we received some high results showing red today, such as the parameters ammonia, nitrate, and fecal coliform. Because about 1 to 5% of the dairies had may have wells high nitrate, higher than the maximum contaminant level, we'll be follow up on why we received these results. This starts with proper sample collection, see where the contamination may be coming from, the dairy, septic, legacy, or neighbors, and ensuring best management practices are practiced. This is the loop. The water quality improvement projects are done, inspections are done, monitoring is performed, and the results are reviewed. This is how the program works, and permit changes will be considered in next steps. So we'll continue the round of staff inspections. We'll be going out to dairies that have only been visited once now. We'll go the second time. We'll have 6 dairy closures within the next year due to retirement mainly. 2 new dairy facilities will be opening. These are operators that are already experienced in dairy operation. They've purchased dairies that were abandoned before the permit started, and we may bring that to the board meeting in October. They were not existing dairies in 2012, so they couldn't enroll under the existing permit. And we'll continue group surface water monitoring. That's an ongoing. Those last percentages of groundwater data collection, that will be coming in within the next 2 years. And potential fees for the waiver, we want to talk about a little bit, because you'll hear from some of the folks today, I'm sure. So last August, the fee branch proposed a fee for the waiver, the same as the general waste discharge requirements. The board members of the state board on September 23rd decided not to charge the same fee for the waiver due to public comment, mainly, I think, during the board meeting. And they wanted to have stakeholder meetings within the next year. So we had a public stakeholder meeting. The fee branch came up to Eureka and also Petaluma and heard from the public. The dairy operators were there and let the fee branch know what they thought about a fee for the waiver being the same as the Central Valley's fees. And then last is the waiver NPDES permits expire in January 2017. So we'll consider some changes to the permit based on what we see worked and what didn't work. I think that's all. These are some cows in Sonoma County, and I'll take any questions you may have. This is a Humboldt County cow.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Sherry, I want to first acknowledge the work of yourself and staff, and then extend that to our partners. I see some in the house today, the dairy community. I am very pleased with how this permit has rolled out, has been basically embraced by this community and is in play. While this data, shows at least from the most part I look at it, and it's very, I think it's very on the positive side. There are obviously some things here that need to be looked at. A couple questions. In looking at specifically in using water wells and groundwater, I've sampled a lot of water wells, and I find that myself that absolutely sampling protocol, especially when it comes to bacterial sampling, can be very, very important. Construction details and age of well, setbacks that were maybe not considered or that have been encroached upon are really important. Do you know if there's been, oftentimes when we find fecal or coliform bacteria in a well, there are some sanitation measures that can be taken to douse it, say with chlorine. Most public health departments have those types of procedures and then retest.
Yeah, they do that.
Do you invoke that here? So are wells then disinfected in essence and then retested as part of, because of the potable side and the MCL issue when it comes to especially something like nitrates or which actually bleach wouldn't help with that, or disinfection wouldn't necessarily help with that, but bacterial sampling?
I know that the counties have their own sampling, like Sonoma County Department of Health goes out and samples all the dairies, and they're required to have no coliform in the water supply. So they do have to shock the well with chlorine, and some of the dairies up here in the north, I think, are inspected by the state.
Okay.
They don't have a county inspector, and they also shock the well with chlorine. But we don't want that to be the only solution.
No. No, but I think also to acknowledge that sometimes the age and construction detail or the condition of well can be a big player in simply bacterial testing, I know. That's been my experience.
I was really happy that they got a new well for the man in Siskiyou County, and the NRCS funded that.
Yeah, I agree. Nutrient management planning, you had mentioned that only is in play on GWDR sites, but how is it being handled? Or because I live West County, Sonoma County, and dairies, you know, they scrape their ponds and clean them out at a certain time of year and broadcast that. A lot of them do really good jobs, I believe, in incorporating that into soil prior to rain. How is that handled then on waiver sites with application of manure out of ponds on some agronomic or best practice BMP type measures that are in play on that?
Since nutrient management plans are not required under the waiver, I don't review those, but we have well over 60% of the dairies now have nutrient management plans, whereas when we first started this program in 2012, only 25%, barely 25% had nutrient management plans. I'm really pleased that they're doing this. They're getting help from the Resource Conservation District in Sonoma. All the RCDs and the NRCSs are helping them. That's the way they fund the projects. First, they get a nutrient management plan, the water quality improvements are listed, and those get funded as needed.
And talk to me a little bit about riparian then. And riparian, it seems to me to be something that looking at now and going forward, and maybe looking at riparian or protection or some type of a look at that, that seems to me to be a place where there could be work that needs to be done here, I believe. And I think that's practice. I think that some of that's changed as well over maybe the last decade, through whether it be the, you know, I know in Sonoma Marin County, the Farm Bureau has been active at least in some of that. Stemple Creek is an example where, as part of TMDL, there's exclusion fencing. Certainly in Scott Valley, there's exclusion fencing, some of that as part of TMDL as well. It seems like riparian would be a place that, in looking at maybe some things in the future, in the next version of this waiver, to maybe take a look at that.
I agree.
Well, I thank you very much. I thank you and everybody involved, including especially Dairymen and our partners, West United Dairymen, the UC Cooperative Extension, and our CS, RCDs, everybody that is enjoined within a permit process that from 2012 to now has 100% enrollment. From what I'm seeing, and I'll state this, it looks like there's a very good and robust sampling process going on. It looks like it's identifying at least good water quality indication out here with some areas that maybe need to be looked at, but generally I'm very pleased. I really thank you for the update. I look forward to 2017. Sounds like we have the renewal of this waiver, and look forward then. The one thing I would ask for is I'd like to see some data tables. I like pie charts and all that kind of stuff. I'm kind of a data wonk when it comes to this stuff. So when we get around to doing that, maybe Sherry, you could share some of that data in a tabular form and look at it just to see where it's at, how it's spatially distributed, and maybe where some of these things lie.
Great, got it. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Remember this.
Thank you, Sherry. I thought that was a very thorough and articulate presentation. I really appreciate it. You know, the 5 years I lived and worked in Delmar County, I had the pleasure of interacting with a number of the dairymen back in the mid-80s that were working then, and I really came to understand the meaning of work and stress. I fully appreciate, you know, the stress that they deal with a perishable crop that can literally go sour on you in 24 hours and lose a day's worth of work. I'm really pleased at the tone of the presentation, how I'm very appreciative of the patience that the dairy community is showing and working with you, because in the long run, what we're trying to do is prevent a problem. I totally agree that North Coast dairy operations have very little in common with Central Valley dairy operations, but we've learned from those Central Valley dairy operations in Chino that groundwater nitrate can be a severe issue. And so I would ask the dairymen in the room to remember that, you know, this is a preventative action. We don't want to get to where Chino is, and it will take patience, and it will take a continued diligence to prevent impacts to water quality. But it's I think it's a testament not only to you and your staff, but also to the community folks that you're working with, and how hard people are working. And I'm very grateful for everything you and people in the audience are doing. So thank you.
Thanks. Board Member Moon.
Thank you, Sherry and other staff. Thank you so much for your efforts on this program. Certainly the partners in the room, and also the impressive level and tone of cooperation from dairy producers. I jotted down a whole bunch of questions, so I'm just going to kind of leaf through. So one question I had was, in the groundwater results, I know that there was the fall-spring pattern of sampling, and I'm under the impression that that pattern is in place to try to detect some sort of change over time.
Yes, we took a lot of the data, and we even sorted it by season, trying to figure out if it was worse in the summer, worse in the winter, spring, fall. You know, we didn't really find any levels, but we haven't done that in quite a while. We could do that again because all the data is in Excel spreadsheets. We can sort that by date of sample and see if we see any differences in the changes.
Yeah, I know it's probably a short time period to see those types of changes, but it would be interesting to see the samples grouped over time. Let's see. I also was wondering, I know that the permit required, you know, four samples in that pattern, but in the cases where there were exceedances in the groundwater wells, is there any opportunity to do or to require more sampling to look at change over time in terms of if practices are changing?
You know, when we wrote the permit, we made it as broad as possible, so we can certainly ask for more groundwater samples if we feel the need be, and if there's an issue, yes.
Mm-hmm. Seems like producers might even be interested in that data for themselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then a general question just came up. I know, you know, there were differences among the watersheds in terms of the quality of the sample results, you know, some watersheds having, or some counties having more exceedances than others. Do you have any kind of hypothesis for why those differences in the different areas? Do you think it's really based on practices, or could there be other factors such as soils and hydrology of those different areas that were causing the differences?
For both groundwater and surface water, or just one?
Well, I guess actually groundwater, you did mention a couple things with regard to water table, so I'm wondering more about surface water.
Maybe just surface water. We have to go to those sample sites and find out what is contributing. Some of the sample sites are downstream of cities, so it can be from another factor, so we really need to go to those sites. Last winter, our student assistant and I went out with the data sonde and started checking some places that I was concerned about from my inspections. And I was surprised. Some of the places that I thought would have a hit, we didn't have a hit. And a couple of other places, I saw a concern but that I couldn't measure, so contacted the representatives to have that corrected. Or in one case, we did see an issue, and we contacted the Farm Bureau, and they called the person, and they corrected it the same day. So we will go back and check some of these areas, because from the inspections, I know where to look again when it's raining.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned, you know, some of these locations having cities upstream, and I know at least for the Sonoma Marin Mendocino program, you mentioned that sampling is occurring above and below reaches with dairies, and it would be great to see a breakout of those results to see if any of the exceedances are occurring above the reach. That might help clarify the data. I guess another thing that it would be interesting to see in the data is, you know, these surface water samples, showing those over time, because I know that this regulatory process has led many producers to implement new BMPs, and it would be great to see, you know, it would probably be very difficult to show a scientific correlation between those, but it would be just interesting to see whether there was any improvement over time in those surface water samples.
We have certain stations that we see consistently have high ammonia for one thing. So those dairies will be contacted, and we'll see if we can get those samples to start improving. They shouldn't be that high. There's an issue.
And thank you for letting me grill you.
Any other board comments? Well, first of all, I want to thank you for a very thorough report. I appreciate it a lot. Two quick questions. You mentioned tidal influence was affecting some of the results. presumably that's going to grow with time in relatively short time periods, just with sea level rise. How do you believe that will affect the dairies and their operation? And
you know, I hadn't considered that. That's a great question. I know the samples that were taken, it's reported that they're tidal influenced. I suppose the EC could be going up farther upstream. I hadn't considered that before. We were looking closer, I guess, on all these samples of the nitrate, the ammonia, and the nitrate in the groundwater. I wasn't as concerned with the EC, but it can be when it's not tidal influence. So if tidal influence is going farther and farther upstream, we're going to have to consider that when we're analyzing the results.
Okay. One other question. You had some of the tests coming back with 100% no fecal coliform. That seems like an amazing figure off a dairy farm. Why is that? I mean, for example, you know, they shut down the oyster beds here in Humboldt Bay when there's rain, because it's where there's rain, there's fecal coliform so commonly. And so I just wonder, what are you testing for there? Is it a confined area? Or why don't you think that's showing up? Or
for the fecal coliform, we're only testing the groundwater, and a lot of people just have really deep, clean wells.
Oh, okay.
So they could be 100 to 200 feet. Even Sonoma County, some are 300 or 400 feet deep.
Okay, thank you. Great answer. Any other comments or questions? Well, thank you. We appreciate it. I'm going to want us to get started on the next agenda item. We're not going to finish it